Sufferings, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of TFTC. It was brought to you by our good friends at River, the best place to buy Bitcoin. River makes it very easy to buy Bitcoin, to sell Bitcoin. If you want to do that, you shouldn't sell it. They actually have a new thing at checkout if you're trying to sell Bitcoin. Michael Saylor comes out and says, are you sure you want to sell Bitcoin right now? Probably shouldn't. You should DCA into Bitcoin. River makes it very easy. You can set it and forget it by daily, weekly, monthly. If you DCA using River, you're not going to pay any fees on those buys. It's the easiest way to gift Bitcoin with River Link. You set an amount of Bitcoin you want to gift somebody. You create a link. You send that to somebody. You text it to them. You email it to them. You DM it to them. They click the link, and then they can sweep the Bitcoin to their River account or a wallet of their choice. It's a beautiful thing. River builds all their infrastructure in-house. They don't depend on third parties. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin. It's where we buy Bitcoin. Go to river.com/TFTC. Sign up today. You'll get $5 worth of Bitcoin. This rip was also brought to you by good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody model. Price of Bitcoin's going up. If you talked about owning Bitcoin publicly, you could be subjected to SIM swap attacks. Had a friend had this happen to him recently where he got SIM swapped attack. They went to go drain his exchanges, got past 2FA, all of that. Luckily, they didn't get his Bitcoin because he has his Bitcoin in an Unchained multisig vault, which keeps your keys offline, and they're always in cold storage. So you don't have to worry about somebody SIM swapping you and stealing your Bitcoin. Unchained also has an IRA product. If you have a retirement account and you want to get exposure to Bitcoin, get direct exposure. You don't have to buy the ETFs. You can actually hold the Bitcoin, take it in kind, as one should be able to do. Unchained makes that very easy. Go hit up Unchained's concierge team. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Learn about all their products, the vault, the IRA. They have a trading desk. They have a lending desk. They're doing it the right way. Unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that TFTC sent you. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Zaprite. If you're an individual out there who wants to accept Bitcoin as payment, Zaprite is the best way to do that. Go to zaprite.com/TFTC, set up an account, and Zaprite makes it very easy to connect your own wallets. They're wallet agnostic. You simply enter an XPub, connect your LND node, connect your Strike account, whatever it may be, and Zaprite handles the invoicing side of things. You can send invoices, payment links. They have a WooCommerce integration. So if you're a trucker, a rancher, a farmer, a doctor, a lawyer wants to accept Bitcoin as payment, go to Zaprite, connect your wallets, and start doing so today. The best part about Zaprite is they also accept fiat payments, so you don't have to have individual invoicing for people that pay in Bitcoin and people that pay in fiat. You do it all in one spot. You can connect Stripe, your ACH, and you send one invoice, and they can pay in fiat or Bitcoin. It's beautifully designed. They have they have dashboards, analytics, everything you need to hand over to your bookkeeper or your accountant. So again, go to zaprite.com/TFTC. Use the promo code TFTC at sign out, and you're going to get $40 off their annual subscription fee, which is typically $240. So with the code TFTC, you drop that down to $200. Zaprite.com/TFTC. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Bitcoin Talent Co. Bull market's here. You may be looking to hire as your runway is extended because you have a bunch of Bitcoin on your corporate treasury. Go to Bitcoin Talent Co. It's a recruiting firm built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. They understand Bitcoin multisig. They understand mining. They understand the Lightning Network, and they're highly competent recruiters. Andy, the co-founder, started Uber, grew their team from 100 to 10,000. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to go find the best talent in tech, design, banking, finance, whatever you need. They're going to understand your needs, and they're going to go get you the best talent to help us build out the Bitcoin standard. BitcoinTalent.co. Tell them the TFTC sent you and enjoy this rip.
Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Mr. Corallo, take seven, I believe. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's funny, you seem a little down.
Yeah, we've done a few of this. Yeah, that's probably true. I think this may be the peak of my bearishness on Bitcoin. As a notorious Bitcoin bear, I think this might be the peak.
I mean, the first time you were on, you said Bitcoin had a 5% chance of success. Are we below that now?
We might be. I think things are looking real bad right now.
All right, let's get a visualization of how bad things are looking, particularly at the mining pool layer. So this is a tweet from OXB10C, who's done a great job of analyzing the Bitcoin blockchain and particularly keeping an eye on mining pools to see what they're up to, how they're constructing blocks. And him and Mononaut from mempool.space have been sounding the alarm that it looks like if you look at the Merkle branches that mining pools send to miners as part of their stratum jobs, it's clear that the BTC.com pool, Binance pool, Poolin, EMCD, Raw pool, and possibly Brains have exactly the same template and custom transaction prioritization as AntPool. So this equates to about 50% of the mining hash rate as represented by mining pools, essentially handling how blocks are constructed and the payouts as well. So this dictates payouts from a central party as well.
Yeah, so basically they're all the same pool from the perspective of Bitcoin. These are all the same pool.
Not good.
No, it's not good. So, I mean, I think it's important to kind of point out why this is a problem, I think. So Bitcoin's value proposition, I would argue, and I hope not so controversially argue, is that it is a censorship-resistant money, right? Or more colloquially, Bitcoin is fuck you money. It is money that I can control, that you can't stop me from using however I see fit. It is freedom money. And that comes from censorship resistance. That comes from this concept of I can send the money wherever I want, and there's no entity or no group of entities that can stop me. And the answer right now is it's clearly not true, right? There's one pool that has near 50% of hash power. You know, throughout all of Bitcoin's history, we've had a lot of centralization in pools. So, you know, obviously pools ensure that miners get stable rewards, and miners will want this, and it's really important for the business of a lot of miners. But they also select the transactions. They also select what goes into the Bitcoin blockchain, and they can censor, right? And so there being a large pool that's nearing 50%, that's getting to the point where they could completely censor the Bitcoin blockchain if they wanted to, just by their own decision making, should frighten everyone and should be high on the list of worries. You know, I don't know why. I know the price is up, but people should not be bullish with this news.
No. And was this news an accident? Because the way I understand this became apparent to Mononaut particularly was that he recognized that there was a large consolidation of Coinbase transactions. So it might have been a mishap on behalf of this monolithic pool consolidating all these Coinbases that were assumed to be from separate pools that fall under this umbrella.
Yeah, so Mononaut noticed that clearly all of these pools are using the same custodian, so basically all the money from all these pools is going to the same place, and concluded, like, look, they're at a minimum the same custodian. Now, that wouldn't be great for Bitcoin, but isn't necessarily all that concerning. You know, it's still, if they're separate entities, and importantly, if there's separate entities selecting the transactions and creating the work, right, the important part for Bitcoin is who selects the transactions that go in the network, in the blockchain. And as long as there's a lot of those, then hopefully we do okay. But then OXB10C then noted that, in fact, no, they're not just using the same custodian. They're actually selecting identical transactions and clearly using the same Bitcoin node to select the same transactions. So for all intents and purposes, they're the same pool. They're not separate entities. They might be, you know, separate entities, but they're just proxying for the same pool. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe not to play devil's advocate, but to highlight, like, why would the miners be comfortable doing this? Is there an advantage in their part?
Yeah, so I think there are business reasons here. So what has been, what I've surmised from talking to a few people is that miners demand basically this fixed paper share payouts. So miners want to be paid the same amount of Bitcoin per share that they submit to their pool, irrespective of the current fees in the block template, irrespective of the block reward, whatever. And that's really expensive. And you need a very large balance sheet to actually pay out fixed paper share. So we saw this with Poulin going bankrupt 6 months or a year or 2 years ago. They offered fixed paper share for a lot of their mining customers, a lot of their miners. The miners often want it for their own business reasons. It's just more convenient to deal with on their part. And then Poulin just didn't have the balance sheet for it. Poulin got a little unlucky for a while, or someone did a block withholding attack. No way to know. And then they couldn't meet their payout obligations. And so they went out of business, or they went bankrupt. I guess they're now still in business or back in business, but now they're just a proxy for Antpool. So it's all the same. So I guess they got absorbed by the Borg, after going bankrupt, but it's very impractical as a small to moderate sized pool to offer fixed paper share. And in fact, even as a large pool, if you don't have an absolutely giant balance sheet, you can't offer fixed paper share. And so what appears to have happened is all these pools basically said, our users want fixed paper share. We can't offer fixed paper share with our balance sheet without risking bankruptcy. And so instead, what we're going to do is just, we're going to become a proxy. We're not really going to be a pool. We're just going to be a proxy in front of another pool, and we're going to, be a shill organization, basically.
Yeah. The central bank of the mining pool.
Right.
Ecosystem, essentially.
Right.
You mind if we get conspiratorial here?
I wouldn't expect anything less.
I mean, we had the China mining ban in 2021. A lot of media focus, media attention, narratives driven from that. That's one thing that has been talked about since then. Yes, physical mining machines were forced to leave the borders of China, at least temporarily. We saw the network hash rate fell 50 to 60%, soon recovered as miners went all around the world. I believe 20% of hash rate has settled back in China. There's a material amount of hash rate still in China, but for all intents and purposes, there was a ban on hash rate production within Chinese borders. But one thing that really hasn't been talked about throughout the years, and probably something I should have brought up because it is very noticeable, is the Chinese mining pools have still been in operation, and they're at the center of what's happening now.
It continues to be Bitmain. Too, right? It continues to be, it seems like Bitmain has, with the exception of F2Pool, Bitmain has kind of recreated this conglomerate and this ownership of Bitcoin mining hash power in a way that during SegWit 2x, we saw Bitmain's behavior, and during the SegWit drama, we saw kind of a clear desire from Bitmain to act as the arbiter of the Bitcoin network, right? They had this very clear desire to decide what happened to Bitcoin. And I think, hopefully rightfully, most people, but certainly rightfully, concluded that, dear God, this is like no one, why does someone want to be in charge of Bitcoin? This is kind of antithetical to the whole thesis of Bitcoin. And now they have 40% hash rate again.
Yeah.
And we all seem to be okay with this.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we do have a precedent of this in Bitcoin's history with Ghash. Wasn't that 2015?
Right. And I think what puts that up, what's a little different there is GHash asked miners to leave, and some miners did leave.
And, all the miners left. You know, GHash isn't around anymore because everybody freaked out.
Certainly, eventually. But not right away. It did take a little bit of time. But, you know, there's always, there's often this narrative in Bitcoin where people say, well, it's okay that pools are very centralized and that there's only a few pools and whatever, because mining hash rate can just switch to a new pool overnight. In 5 seconds, miners will, you know, if the pool tries to do anything bad, miners will immediately switch to another pool, and no one should worry about this because this is how it's going to happen. And, I mean, clearly that's obviously not the case, right? Not only do we know that that's not the case for practical purposes, right? These mining pools and their miners are large businesses with negotiated contracts that they negotiate over the course of months. You know, you can't move overnight. Often you'll have a backup. You know, you might have two contracts. You have a contract with some backup pool, hopefully a backup pool, though we now know that many of the pools are just fronts for each other and it's all just one pool anyway. But you know, obviously miners aren't going to switch overnight. Of course, reconfiguring all these machines and negotiating a new business contract. But also, miners haven't switched. In the last 2 weeks, the Ant pool and Bitmain pool conglomerate has not materially reduced its hash power, has not materially lost hash power. So clearly this thesis of like, well, it's okay that, you know, pools are centralized because miners will just do the right thing for Bitcoin is bullshit.
Yeah. And it's gotten to a point too where the alternatives, I think that's the sneaky part about what's going on with this mega pool, is that it's filled with a lot of non-KYC pool operators. So many miners view this as favorable. These options is favorable because they can sign up with no KYC, and the alternatives are companies like Foundry, which require KYC, and right. That adds a little variable to the game theory of the decisions that are being made. And as you mentioned, Bitcoin mining has become hyper industrialized since the GHash days. So
right.
A lot of these companies have boardroom decisions that need to be made. It's not people running moonshine operations that were able to make decisions on a whim like they were back in 2015.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's frustrating too, because I think for a long time, you know, there are business reasons why miners join a pool. Obviously, it's not, you know, miners need consistent payouts, or they at least want consistent payouts, and in many cases need, or they just simply will go under because they won't be able to afford their electricity 1 month because they got unlucky and didn't find a block. So pools have to exist for some, you know, for some miners to be effective. But the, you know, as a technologist, as someone who works on Bitcoin software and Bitcoin protocols, you know, the technologists, we've done our job, right? We've created systems for miners to be able to mine without giving up their control over transaction selection to the pool. So there's, in the olden days, there was P2 pool. People stopped using P2 pool in part because of misunderstanding. They'd see high orphan rates in the UI, and confused that for not getting paid. You know, if you have a 5% orphan rate, people thought that that meant you lost 5% of revenue, which wasn't the case. It's, you know, if you have a 5% orphan rate and everyone else has a 5% orphan rate, everyone still gets the right revenue and it's fine. So there was a little confusion in the UI. It did have some issues. Some people had a higher orphan rate, which did cause you to lose revenue. And it also couldn't pay out a lot of small miners. Basically, you could only use it if you were a fairly large miner once it got big. So, you know, it had some issues, but people could still do it. People could go set up private P2 pools. You know, if you're a large miner and you want to work with three other large miners and set up a pool, but none of you want to trust each other, none of you want to trust the other ones to you know, operate the pool and manage the nodes and, you know, make sure that the payouts are correct, whatever, you could run a private P2 pool completely untrusted, just between the three or five or whatever miners. And it would work no problem. right? So that's a solution. Stratum V2 is finally in beta. So the SRI product that Spiral, my employer, funded for many years, spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars paying people to work on this and to build this software suite, exists. It works. People can try it out now. Wouldn't call it production ready. You know, it's still got, it's still early days, but we don't see miners testing it, right? You know, if miners, if it were the case that this thesis that like miners care deeply about Bitcoin and they'll switch pools overnight if they have to, if that were true, we'd see miners running around testing Stratum V2 today, right? We'd see miners saying, look, we care deeply about Bitcoin. We've invested all this money in ASICs. We care about Bitcoin's value and value proposition, not just the dollar value of the coin, but the long-term value, because, you know, Bitcoin censorship resistance matters. Then we'd see every miner testing Stratum V2, right? We'd see every miner taking three of their machines, three of their rigs, pointing at demand. You know, there is a production pool that runs Stratum V2. You can go mine on this pool called Demand Pool. That was one of the guys who was working on Stratum V2 and somebody who's been around the mining space for a while went and founded a pool to offer the service to people. We'd see people doing that, and we don't, right? We don't see anyone caring about the issues of mining centralization from the mining side today, which is very frustrating. So it feels like, you know, technologists have done the work, and the vast majority of miners, certainly there are miners who care deeply about these issues and, you know, maybe aren't aware of these things or don't have time to invest to switch their architecture. You know, maybe it's on the roadmap. They just haven't gotten to it yet. But I think the vast majority of miners, that's clearly not true. The vast majority of miners clearly have demonstrated very little care for the Bitcoin network.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking what a lot of the focus has been on last few years in the mining industry, particularly, is really on the energy and ASIC procurement side. It's been somewhat myopic in terms of driving down your input cost and neglecting the, the back end actual health of the network.
Right. I mean, look, if you're a miner, you've got shareholders or certainly your own profit to care about. You know, you've got to care about all the things you mentioned, you know, power contracts, making sure your farm's operating efficiently, cutting expenses on employees. You know, you don't want to spend too much money on a bunch of very high priced engineers who are going to do stuff like this. Totally understood. But at some point, you know, the Bitcoin network has to be important for miners, then the long-term value of Bitcoin, hopefully they care about that. And, you know, this needs to rise to the top of the priority list. And it needs to rise to the top of the priority list right fucking now, because it turns out all the pools are lying. Turns out half the pools are lying to their customers. Like, I went around and spoke to a bunch of miners. A bunch of them did not know that their pool was actually just a proxy for Antpool, that they weren't mining on, you know, these pools, like Pool, and it's actually just Antpool now, or BTC.com. I mean, those were always the same owners, obviously, BTC.com and Antpool, but, you know, miners just weren't aware of this. And then, so the fact that this isn't now at the top of the priority list to go, you know, test out Stratum V2, build a private P2 pool network, fund Braid Pool. There's another project where somebody is trying to revive P2 pool, but fix a lot of the issues that made P2 pool a little less practical to mine on for a large business. That is still early. It's not certainly not available for use yet. But, you know, I don't see any miners funding it. I don't see any miners encouraging engineers to work on it or anything like that to try to make that an option for them so that they have, you know, a decentralized alternative to the pools that they're trusting.
Yeah. Logan, pull up the pie chart again, because this is really where it gets dismaying. If you just look at the options, I mean, Foundry, right. Yes, you could go to them. And they're testing Stratum V2, at least the encrypted hash delivery from the individual miners to the pool.
Right, and that's the other part, too, is it's important to recognize that when someone says they're testing Stratum V2, you have to ask, are you testing Stratum V2 where your endpoints, your customers of the pool, can set the work they want to mine on? Or are they just testing, well, Stratum V2, they'll like very naive protocol that's just Stratum V1 with some better crypto, because that doesn't help Bitcoin. That helps miners. You know, you get encryption, you get a little lower bandwidth usage, it's a little more efficient, fine, whatever. But it doesn't help Bitcoin.
No.
And so to be clear, I don't actually know whether Stratum or whether Foundry is testing the full custom work selection protocol or not. I haven't spoken to them about this. I know some other Stratum V2 folks have, so I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. But I know, for example, Brains, and I don't want to throw Brains under the bus. They're great folks, but you know, they're a small business that has to pay out fixed pay per share, and I don't know that they're really in a position to do that, and they don't support Stratum V2 with custom work selection. It's not something that they've built out, and I don't know why. I don't know if they don't have the resources for it, or I don't know if they just have to join the pool Borg conglomerate because it's the only way they can stay in business. I don't know where their head's at, but you know, they don't support it either. Currently it's only demand pool.
Yeah. And Brains particularly made the switch from PPL and S to FPPS last year after being PPL and S for the longest time. And
right.
The scuttlebutt around the industry is that they lost large clients because they were PPL and S. So basically bent the knee to FPPS to solve that problem.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And here again, you know, it's miners making decisions that are best for them and throw Bitcoin under the bus to some extent. Now, to be clear, you can do Stratum V2 with custom work selection and still do fixed pay per share. That's totally an option if a pool wants to offer that. But for the most part, this demand of fixed pay per share just means that there can only be one pool or two pools or certainly one pool insurance service, because you just have to have, you're demanding that your pool has such a deep balance sheet that no one can really do it. Certainly none of these small pools that are just pool businesses. You know, you have to have another business on the side like Bitmain where you have a very deep balance sheet.
Yeah. Now the pie chart is really disconcerting because that's again, like, what options do the miners have right now? And there's few.
Yeah. You have
far between.
Nothing.
So it's begs the question, is there need for like a skin shedding here? Is the mining pool industry like a snake that needs to shed its skin and have new entrants pop up like Demand, like Ocean?
Totally. You know, I mean, it's a question of miners actually doing it. You know, again, we've got to get, miners have to be willing to take a little bit of pain in the short term, not, you know, average revenue pain, but maybe PPLNS from Demand or Ocean. You know, maybe it's going to a pool and saying, look, you ship Stratum V2 with custom work selection in 6 months or we walk, and be ready to switch to Demand. You know, maybe Demand gets some hash power from that and PPLNS or whatever, so that, you know, you still get the same average revenue, but a little less consistent. And, you know, miners at some point need to be willing to do some of these things so that Bitcoin operates well, so that Bitcoin's actually worth something.
Well, that's the most important part, is I think we need to strike the fear of God into the mining industry, where there's a meme, and it's got some validity to it, that miners are somewhat of the cavemen in the industry. Just plug in machine, pay their electricity bill, get Bitcoin out the other end, don't really think much. Obviously that's not completely true, but I think it's directionally correct that a lot of miners, particularly that have come into the space the last few years, just see this arbitrage opportunity between the price to produce Bitcoin and the price that it's trading at any given point in time. But there's a lot of upfront capital that goes into that. Deposits for electricity contracts, deposits for ASICs, paying for ASIC delivery, all the infrastructure around it, the actual housing of the miners. So there's a lot of capital at stake, and I think that's
right.
What miners need to understand is that all of that sunk cost capital that they put into their operations, billions, tens of billions of dollars in aggregate, is at risk if this problem isn't solved.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whether it's that happens one way or another eventually. Probably not soon. You know, there's like three different ways or four different ways that that capital could be a problem. That investment could become a problematic investment if this doesn't get fixed. Either Bitcoin gets censored, you know, whether it's regulatory decision, or whether it's just the decision of McCree, the current CEO of Bitmain, or whoever the next CEO is, just decides they're going to start censoring Bitcoin. Then I think clearly the Bitcoin value would plummet and the miners would be left holding nothing. Left with a huge investment in Bitcoin that's now worthless. Or, you know, maybe the Bitcoin community wakes up. Maybe the Bitcoin community says, look, this is bullshit. The miners, you know, we have now, you know, almost 15 years of experience with Bitcoin for the vast majority of that, at least more than a decade. We've had pools, and the pools have always been fairly centralized. And we have the technology to fix that, but miners haven't adopted it. So we need to fire the miners, and we need to pick a new crop of miners who's going to maybe adopt technologies that are available and do something better for Bitcoin. So maybe the proof of work function changes. You know, maybe all these miners suddenly have a huge pile of ASICs that they have to replace because the proof of work function changed, just to specifically force all of them to go bankrupt.
Pull out the nuclear option.
You know, I don't, eventually something is going to give, right? If this doesn't change, and doesn't change in the next 5 to 10 years, something is going to give. And it's probably just one of those two.
Yeah, I haven't heard the hash function change threatened since the fork wars when Luke Dasher was putting it forth.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's, you know, when we're talking about a blockchain fork, we're really talking about two things that are going to be valued differently. Like, miners don't, you know, when we were talking about like the fork wars and SegWit2x and all these things, the hash function wasn't, you know, where the miners ended up mining wasn't really a determining factor, because the market was going to decide. The market was going to pick the fork that they thought was more valuable, and then the hashers or the miners were, you know, they could mine whatever they wanted, but they were only going to get paid as much if they were mining the one that the market thought was more valuable. So, you know, they were kind of along for the ride. So threatening them then wasn't maybe all that interesting. Here, it's a clear case of just the miners aren't doing the thing that is good for the network. They're doing something that is in many ways not good for the network. And, you know, if it were just like, well, the incentives are off and there's no way for them to do something that's better for the network while still, you know, having a sustainable business and a good business, then that'd be one thing. Like, we should fix the incentives. But here, that's not the case. Here, you know, the technologists have done their job. Okay, SRA is only in beta. Fine. We'll be released soon. But the miners haven't. You know, the miners haven't started testing these things. The miners haven't explored P2Pool, and the miners haven't been, you know, I've seen zero miners involved in discussions around Braidpool. Zero, right? So, you know, the miners haven't moved towards these things. And so here, clearly, there's a case of just the miners aren't doing the thing they need to do, even though, you know, the incentives are neutral. There's no material revenue loss. Maybe it's a little less consistent because maybe there's, you know, if you switch to P2Pool, it might be PPLNS or something, but yeah, if you get enough hash power, it averages out pretty well. You'll be all right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it seems to me like the Bitcoin network is much better off changing the proof of work and bankrupting the existing crop of miners than waiting until Bitcoin gets censored.
Yeah. That's going to cause a lot of problems.
I don't think that's a short term.
No, now I'm thinking like...
I don't think that's a short-term thing. It's very painful, but...
No, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat now. Because think of how ingrained mining operations have become with grid systems, off-grid systems. It's a big industry now. It's a It's a massive industry. And the vested interest in the ancillary services beyond Bitcoin mining, the precarious situation that something like changing the hash function would put them in is like pretty heavy to think about. Like you talking about like grid instability potential in Texas.
Look, if you change the hash function, you give people time and they can buy, you know, the current miners may go bankrupt, but somebody else will buy new ASICs and build similar systems. So you're right, it'd be painful, but hopefully it wouldn't have to be that painful.
No, it would be painful. It would be a logistical nightmare. That begs the question too. I mean, we've been getting at it, beating around the bush, but like mining pools are notoriously terrible businesses that need ancillary added value services to actually be profitable businesses. And again, going back to the snake shedding its skin analogy, like are the current crop of pool operators, the people that should actually be operating pools, should it be a conglomerate of, not a conglomerate, but should it be like individual energy companies run a pool? Should it be?
Well, and again, you know, as somebody had, yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's, as you mentioned, it's not a good business in many cases. So, you know, an exchange or an existing business that wants to optimize for returns is not necessarily going to invest in running a pool. So we saw this with Binance, right? Binance runs a pool. It's just a proxy for Antpool. And we've known that for a while. I think they said that publicly. But, you know, now we know that even more pools are actually just proxies for Antpool. So, you know, when you see something like that, often it's just contracted out. So, you know, maybe the answer is more that large miners get together and run a private P2 pool instance. You know, maybe they create their own, you know, mutually untrusted pool where they all join in, they all, you know, operate P2 pool nodes. The software exists. You don't have to fork it. You just got to run it. You know, it's been, shit, P2 pool was popular in 2012, 2013. Like, I mean, you know, it's been around forever. And, you know, maybe it should just be a side part of the business of running a miner. You know, maybe you just need to hire one guy or not even one guy, you know, maybe just your current ops people are capable of running P2 pool on the side. And the business folks run around and join forces with a few other miners to create, you know, these private mining pools.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we shouldn't have mining pools, but
have you personally talked to any of the bigger miners about this or?
Not this idea specifically. You know, I think that is a bigger shift in the industry and I don't know how many miners are ready for that. You know, I think getting Stratum V2 over the line is a little bit of an easier sell because Stratum V2 is basically the existing business. You know, you're still working with a mining pool. You're still, you know, doing the same thing you do now, but you just run a little different software. And so I think that's, I certainly thought that was an easier sell. So far, we haven't really gotten much in the way of miners actually testing this stuff. You know, the software exists and developers want testing, want people to try stuff out. But so far it hasn't been, so far it hasn't been a big thing.
I think I remember it had to be 2018 or 2019 meeting in New York talking about Stratum V2 for the first time at a vegan restaurant in Midtown.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's an old idea. You know, it's an old idea. The idea itself predates Stratum V2, you know, previous iterations of the protocol. Sadly, Stratum V2 as a spec, you know, we, Spiral, struggled a little bit to find people to fund to work on it. You know, it took a while for us. We were running around begging anyone, you know, hey, if you want to work on this as a software engineer, we'll pay you. Please work on it. We struggled for a long time to find anyone to do that. We eventually did. It's now an open source project that is available. It's in beta. There's a handful of people working on it. We still fund, I think, one or two of them. So it took a while, but it is finally there. And now it's time for miners to, you know, do their jam jobs and start testing it and start working towards it.
Quick break here, freaks. This rip is brought to you by Gradually Then Suddenly, a framework for understanding Bitcoin as money by Parker Lewis. I wrote the foreword to the book. I'm honored to have done so because it's the best 0-to-1 primer if you're looking for a logical explanation of why Bitcoin obsoletes all other money. Buy one for yourself and maybe a few for your friends. Go to thesafehouse.com/gradually. That's thesafehouse.com, safe spelled S-A-I-F, thesafehouse.com/gradually. Use the promo code TFTC for $5 off at checkout. Buy it now, freaks. The price of Bitcoin is going up. You need to understand it. This is the best 0-to-1 primer. Back to the show.
What would you say to people who hear this and say, he's shilling his own bags. He's been working on Stratum B2 for the better part of a decade. He wants to see his baby get into the world. Like, this isn't something we have to worry about. We have somebody with bias putting forth a solution they want to see in the world.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't really care if it's Stratum B2 or private P2 pools or Braid pool. I worked on the design of the Stratum B2 protocol. I haven't actually worked at all on the software. I'm shilling other people's software for the SRI, the Stratum reference implementation, that some other people built. But yeah, I mean, again, I don't really care how we get there. I care that the transaction selection, the selection of which transactions enter the Bitcoin blockchain, becomes decentralized. Yeah. Because today it's not. And, you know, I hope that, and I think Bitcoin only has value if it is. You know, I think Stratum V2 is the most likely way to get there, because I think it, you know, continues the existing business models that people are used to and people are comfortable with. And, you know, you can continue to use a pool. You know, if we switch to a bunch of private P2 pool instances, then, you know, variance is going to be higher and people might not like that. But with Stratum V2, your variance doesn't have to be any higher. Your variance can be the same. You can still do fixed paper share as long as your pool has a deep balance sheet, but in theory, you can still do it. So I think it's the most likely, but I don't know if something else gets adopted. I'm very happy to see that. But, you know, at the end of the day, right now, nearly every proof of stake system is substantially more decentralized than Bitcoin. And I don't know why Bitcoiners are okay with that. Yeah.
Do you think there's a perception that it's a big lift to even test this and then eventually implement it? And if so, is that a misconception?
Maybe. I don't know that I've spoken to enough miners to have an understanding. You know, I know, again, most miners don't necessarily have a big tech staff. They don't have a bunch of engineers who are going to go, you know, implement stuff. They do. Many miners have some software engineers because they build their own mining farm management in-house. Some don't. Some use third parties. But it shouldn't be a huge lift here. I mean, we're talking, you know, either one virtual machine in the cloud or, you know, one little, you know, you buy the little Intel NUX, the little, you know, PCs that are like this big. They're like Raspberry Pis, but they're actually powerful. They're not, you know, garbage. You buy one of those and you run some open source software on it. There's packages. You just download the binary and run it. And then you configure it. You point it to demand pool. I don't know if you even need an account. I think you probably need an account. But you open an account with demand pool. You know, you point your miners at it, and you run Bitcoin Core. And, you know, it's not zero. It's certainly not a two-minute project if you're not an engineer. You don't, you know, you're not kind of used to these kinds of setups. But it's also not a one-day project. It's a few-hour project. You know, test it out. Try it with a few of your mining rigs, you know. Take a few of them off the shelf, point them to your machine, join the Discord. There's a bunch of engineers there who would be happy to do as much customer support as you need to get going. It shouldn't be too hard. I can see why people might be intimidated a little bit. but it's time to get off zero. It's time to slot this into people's, you know, business plans for the next 6 months. You know, if you're a miner and you, you know, you got to figure out when you have time to do this, but you know, in the next 6 months, you should be able to make some time to at least get this tested, get going, get a few of your devices on demand pool, you know, test it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is scary to think about. And I do think, to put my miner hat on, I think, again, people have been so myopically focused on the cost side of things, particularly on the energy side, that they've just overlooked this. And again, it snuck up. I don't think anybody understood that there was this large proxy pool that people were proxying into until a couple weeks ago.
Right, which is all the more reason miners should be freaking out. Like, if your pool is lying to your face about who your counterparty is, why, you don't want to do business with somebody who's going to lie to you about who your counterparty is. That's not, you know, if your counterparty is secretly Bitmain and your pool's not willing to tell you that, you don't want to do business with them.
Yeah. No, again, conspiratorial. Like, was this China's... Was it a smoke and mirror campaign? Smoke. We're banning mining. Kick all the actual ASICs out and then control the pools to censor Bitcoin eventually. Could be. And then
maybe.
Another thing, like,
I don't
Bitmain.
Think we need to jump to conspiratorial in the Chinese government sense. We know Bitmain has a long history of a desire to control Bitcoin. A deep misunderstanding of why this is bad. You know, certainly a big part of that was Jihan when Jihan was CEO. He's not there anymore. He's not supposedly not there anymore. So, you know, maybe that culture has improved. But historically, that's been a part of the company. A part of Jihan's whole MO was he wanted to own Bitcoin by owning the pool that everyone mined on and having everyone, you know, bow down to him and forcing everyone to use a pool. You know, basically, if you want the new ASICs, you got to use our pool and you got to let us have, you know, control Bitcoin or use one of our proxy pools or one of the pools we, you know, at the time, I don't think that were necessarily proxies, although I don't know that anyone checked at the time, but, you know, they certainly had a number of pools that they were, let's say, very, very chummy with.
Yeah. Not even Jihan now at Bitdeer. There's still arm's length connection to Bitmain. Pretty sure they're supplying all Bitdeer's machines. So still a close relationship.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not. But luckily, you know, the technologists have done their job here. And miners have options, or at least one option right now. And hopefully with eventually Braidpool, you know, I don't know where Braidpool is in terms of shipping, but, you know, hopefully that's an option too for folks. So miners will have options and miners should be exploring those options now. You know, that needs to be on the roadmap in the very short term because we're in such a bad place right now. And I think the Bitcoin community needs to start thinking about what the long-term plan is here if miners don't start taking these options.
Yeah. What hash function would you prefer to use?
Honestly, just leave SHA-256, but use a 64-bit timestamp. Let's just fix the timestamp issue. Keep SHA-256, who cares? And we'll just... break all the miners and replace them with new ones.
That would be, if we're, what is it, Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. That would be just from a pure masochistic, infinitely curious to see what the worst case scenario would be like and how it would play out. That would be, and to be clear, you don't want it to get to that point, freaks, but as Matt puts forth, like, if things don't change, it could very well get to that point. And for historical context, again, the last time this was discussed, the hash function, changing of the hash function, is known as the nuclear option, where it's like a last resort. Miners are fucking around. You hit the button, you change the hash function.
Yeah.
Induce a little chaos.
It is hopefully the last resort, but, you know, again, I don't understand why anyone can be bullish on Bitcoin right now.
The ETFs are here, Matt.
Yeah, price is going up, but
we got BRC20 tokens.
Price is going up, but price had been going up, but I don't understand. You know, if you're in this for just the price, what are you doing? You know, and even if you are in this for just the price, where do you think the price comes from? The price is only goes up because people view Bitcoin as fuck you money. If miners can censor the blockchain, then Bitcoin is not fuck you money.
Yeah. I completely agreed. And that, to be clear, I was being facetious.
I know.
The number go up amnesia. Mark Goodwin used that term for the first time on the show last week. I thought it was a very good term, but that is the thing that number go up does. It induces amnesia where people don't care about the properties that make Bitcoin valuable in the first place. They just care about the dollar value and forget about the things that are important.
Yeah.
We need a slogan. Any good attempt to drive change needs a slogan. Fire the miners.
Fire the miners.
Yeah.
Light a fire under the miners' ass, threatening to fire the miners.
I was going to say something that's a bit too uncouth to put on air, but that's the thing. These Chinese pools have a lot of control, and historically they've been very opaque and hard to deal with, hard to get in control of, unless you're Chinese. So that's the interesting thing. Like, I find it hard to believe that any of the Chinese mining pools, particularly those directly controlled by Bitmain, so BTC.com, an AMP pool, would ever willingly adopt something like Stratum V2.
Yeah, maybe not. And, you know, and if 20% of the network hash power is still on these legacy pools, okay, well, you know, that's what it is. But if, you know, 60% of the network hash power is on these legacy pools, then maybe Bitcoin needs new hash power. Yeah.
Do you think this could be solved in a legal way in terms of the way these pools are actually constructed from a legal perspective? Because I've heard the idea floated where you create this pool that would be similar to AMP pool in these regards, but it's a nonprofit with a very specific mandate, which is to gather transactions that get the highest fee within a block and then broadcast a transaction. Then you could proxy pool into that and do things on top of
it. You know, you're still subject to whatever jurisdiction that pool is based in. So, you know, now we have this one big mega pool based in the U.S. and the U.S. government, you know, in 4 years or in 8 years or in 12 years or in 16 years, we elect somebody who decides they want to censor Bitcoin, and the U.S. government says Bitcoin is now censored. And so it is.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's the case that we have these large single entities that are responsible for these things, we're setting ourselves up for trouble.
Yeah. And I wonder if some of these larger miners should just, I mean, that's a shame of the large scale miners is most of them are public. And so they're beholden to quarterly filings and shareholder updates, and they can't really stomach the variance risk. I think that's why Brains suffered a big hash rate leak when they were PPLNS is they had publicly traded miners that couldn't stomach the variance. But ideally, if you
yeah,
did that
and
large,
I mean, I get not stomaching variance, but PPLNS is not super high variance. It's only high variance when your pool is particularly small, right? Yeah. Which Brains was. Brains wasn't a very large pool, so they ended up with high variance. But it, you know, you can have a much larger pool that's PPLNS, and
his phone die. His phone probably died.
You know, then miners, in those cases, we see, so even when you know, even when you see these big pools, even when you see these big pools that have very little variance, you still see Myos demanding FPPS because it still just seems a little better for them, right? And it is really detrimental to Bitcoin, detrimental to their pools.
Yeah. We lost you there for a few seconds, but I think I grokked what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hard problem to solve. Again, because you have a lot of capital sunk into this. You have a lot of business relationships. A lot of tough conversations that are going to need to be had by large miners in the pools that they point their hash.
Yeah. I mean, it is a tough problem to solve, but also not a tough problem to solve, right? It's tough in the sense that, like, there's a lot of what people do now, and they want to keep doing what they do now, but also not tough in that Stratum V2 gives you a release valve. You know, you just change the software you're running, and you can keep doing the same thing you were already doing. You can keep the same payout structure. You can keep the same, you know, all the same contracts you have in place with your pools. You keep the same pools. And all you do is you change the software, and suddenly Bitcoin's decentralized again. Right? And so that's the beauty of something like Stratum V2 when you do custom work selection, is nothing really has to change, but, you know, miners just have to change the software.
Yeah. Again, I'm trying to think of how to even start this conversation. I mean, this is a way to start the conversation, but actually drive change.
Well, you send them this podcast. You tell them that we're going to change the fucking proof of work out from under them. So they better fucking get off their ass and do something about it.
Yeah. I don't think the logistics that would go into that, like, there would have to be, like, a tangible alternative in terms of, like, ASICs they could actually acquire and plug in once the proof of work function has been changed. Like, do they exist?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we can get there. You know, if miners really aren't going to do anything, then we can absolutely figure out the logistics, like the Bitcoin network. You know, Bitcoiners need a decentralized system. That's why all the Bitcoiners are here. And if the miners can't provide a decentralized system, if miners have no interest in providing a decentralized system, then Bitcoiners can figure out the logistics. You know, there'll be a lot of value in being the first one with an ASIC for a new proof of work function. And so I'm sure people would build it. I'm sure people would buy it. I'm sure people would plug it in.
Yeah. Then you have another. Yeah, this is a shit show. Then you have a problem there. If, like, somebody corners the market of those ASICs that you changed to, then it's just, like, centralized when you relaunch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it can't be worse than today, right? 50% in one pool. It can't be a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah. Before Stratum V2, like, what option do miners have now to help reduce this problem? I mean, point your hash at one of
pools. Yeah, get off one of these Bitmain proxy pools. Get off. Yeah, really that. Foundry's not great either, but, you know, look at that. Just care about where your hash is pointed. Just care. You know, if any material number of miners gets off these Bitmain proxy pools and off F2 pool, or off F2 pool, off Foundry, then suddenly we'll have another big pool. You know, it takes a bunch of people getting together. If you're really, you know, if you're a miner and you're saying, you know, all right, you know, maybe I'm going to test Stratum V2 over the next 6 to 12 months. It's going to take me a while to get to it. What can I do now? You know, I'm currently mining on one of these pools that was lying to me. That's actually a proxy for Bitmain, proxy for Antpool. What do I do? Well, you know, go to a bunch of other miners, say, hey, look, here's a problem. We need to do something about it collectively. Let's all switch to, you know, demand pool or something. Demand also offers Stratum V1 endpoints. You know, you can go, I use demand as an example. I'm sure there's a handful of other small pools that aren't proxy pools. I'm not super up on the list of all the small pools in Bitcoin that don't have material hash power, but, you know, you pick a new winner. Like, it doesn't, you know, a bunch of miners get together and say, that's the one we're going to use. You all switch to it. And, overnight there's a new big bull and you don't suffer any increase in variants.
No. It's a shame, like, one of the big alternatives right now would be ocean. I mean, it's not big, but one of the alternatives is ocean pool.
Yeah. Ocean's people, another option.
No, but people won't go to that because they're not mining the most profitable blocks. So that's...
Right.
You got Uncle Tinfoil Marty right now. Because it's like, is this whole Ordinals BRC20, like, a way to lock people into these pools because they're more willing to
facilitate those transactions? Ocean is the only miner that's not willing to include that stuff. So, you know, any other pool, or Ocean's the only pool. Any other pool will do, right? Just pick any other pool. For the few who are willing to suffer a little less income for, you know, some kind of philosophical argument, use Ocean, fine. You know, please just don't use one of these Bitmain proxy pools.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to G, I mean, it is astonishing how complacent people have gotten anchoring back to Gcash. I mean, Peter Todd sent out a tweet and people left that pool within hours.
Yeah, a lot of it lost a lot of hash rate pretty quick. You know, it still had a lot of hash rate for a while. But it did eventually, you know, lose a lot of hash rate. It did kind of collapse. I think even then I thought, you know, I distinctly remember a number of conversations, even all the way back then, where people were kind of saying, look, miners are not as in it for Bitcoin. They're not as willing to change pools when there's a big problem as they should be. And this is problematic. Like, even back then, when it took, you know, a month or whatever for enough hash rate to really, you know, Gcash had to tell people they weren't accepting new users. You know, it really took a lot of effort to get people to stop using so much Gcash. But they did collapse. And they did collapse after, you know, a few months. They lost a lot of hash power pretty quick. But even then, it was a problem. And today, we just see no movement at all. Like, oh, yeah, this is my pool. This business that is core to my business, that is handling all of the finances, all of the money that I'm making is coming via this third-party company that it turns out was lying to me. And people are kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
And that's frightening.
No, just going back to F2 pool and pool BTC.com brains via Foundry. Yeah, I mean that's what I'm trying to grok. Like, how much of the ASICs that are plugged in around the world are owned by Chinese companies or individuals? Who, I mean, just being in the industry, that's the way the Chinese work. They point their hash rate at Chinese mining pools.
And it's a shame that, you know, Poulin went under, right? Poulin made a big dent in that market, was a third party, and then they went bankrupt and got apparently acquired, or at least in some way, shape, or form, ended up being a proxy pool for Antpool. So it's a shame that all these folks were demanding fixed paper share when it's just not sustainable unless you are more than a pool as a business, unless you have a lot more going on in your business, because you need the deep balance sheet.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Maybe you get a KNC miner, BitClub. You have Lincoln Pool, which is probably a good option for people as well. It's very small, but yeah, miners, wake up.
Yeah,
we're going to fire you.
And, you know, all the miners, you know, we need a big mining conference, a big meeting of all the miners to come together, sit in a room and pick a new winner.
Maybe Hong Kong. Maybe we come to an agreement in Hong Kong or something like that.
Yeah, clearly in Austin, because it's where all the miners are, right? Somewhere in West Texas, we'll pick a random town somewhere.
These are messy problems. These are the problems that come with Bitcoin.
And it's hard in the short term. In the long term, miners just need to start testing Stratum V2 and need to start moving to these other solutions.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is going to get released and everybody's going to be like, he's fear-mongering because he wants Stratum V2. He's incentivized.
Well, you know, they can keep saying that right up until Bitcoin changes proof of work, and then they're going to be real sad.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of fuckery on the mining pool side, not only with this centralization of block production and templating, but yeah, like with the out-of-band transactions. I mean, even outside the Chinese mining pools, you have, it's not fuckery, it's a business model, but it is a new interesting variable within the mining industry. Slipstream from Marathon. We have mempool.space's transaction accelerator, which I think is preferable to
so
the other
far
ones.
So far those things haven't minted real substantial revenue. Some revenue, some real revenue certainly, but not huge revenue. You know, I'm hopeful that they don't ever mint huge revenue. We've seen similar things in the past that haven't minted huge revenue. But we'll see. And I think, you know, at some point, Bitcoin Core is going to be forced to make relay policy a little more relaxed. You know, Bitcoin Core tends to be very relaxed. You know, most of the relay policy that they do enforce is, you know, if you have a big transaction, it becomes actually computationally difficult to calculate an optimal block template. So Bitcoin Core prefers small transactions because that's the only way they can build an optimal block template. But, you know, these things will have to change as demand from users changes, because, you know, Bitcoin Core will have to create, you know, has to create good block templates. There's no other way around it. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm cautiously optimistic that none of these more fancy transaction construction things will ever be a huge part of mining revenue in Bitcoin.
That's good to know. All right. Everybody needs to go test Stratum V2. You think it'll be in beta for, what, 6 more months? Maybe longer?
Well, it depends on when people get around to testing it, you know? If nobody tests it, it'll sit in beta forever. If people actually start pointing hash power at it and testing it and saying, like, yep, I can select my own custom work, I can mine on demand pool, and I found, you know, however many shares, then it'll be out of beta in a month, you know? So it's a question of people using it.
Should we publicly shame some people right now?
If you have people you want to shame, sounds good to me.
I've got Cormint. Cormint, let's test it out. Riot. Let's test it out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, get off zero.
Cathedra. I sit on the board. I'll bring it up at Cathedra.
All right.
I need to test it. I think that's not a problem with Stratum V2, but I think it's taken so long. And maybe there's an air of, is it really here? Because it's been talked about for so long. Like,
yeah.
Is this just bullshit?
Yeah,
we had
totally.
Foundry implement. That's the other thing, too. Foundry's like, we have Stratum V2 live. And it's like, yeah, that's just the cryptographic nature of sending hashes to the pool. Not really the block construction side.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm not actually 100% sure where they are on that. So
that's where I thought they were. And then Brains also announced that they have it in Brains OS, at least. Maybe it was Brains.
Yeah, but that is only the standard block construction form. That's not the custom work selection version.
Sadly. Yeah. Now, another freaking Bitmain. They just announced that, or they didn't even announce it. They just released their latest firmware, which makes it impossible to backdoor. So something like Brains OS.
Right.
Or other third-party
more
stuff.
More lockdown. Next version, they're going to tie it to their pools. You can only mine on their pools, you know.
You think so? That would be.
I mean, that's always been there. That's always been their go-to. You know, we want more users on our pools so that they can extract fees eventually, lock people in.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be a misstep. It would give. Luckily, within your corporate umbrella, it was a good announcement to see today. The block mining.
Block announced 3-nanometer tape out.
That's good. We need that. We got Audio Line as well. Obviously, we have MicroBT, which I'm partial towards. I love their machines. Run them personally. Intel may be back in the game. Yeah, Bitmain needs to check. And it is weird because Bitmain, you know, the mining industry would not be as robust as it is without Bitmain historically, but Bitmain has been a extremely antagonistic and scummy in a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We do it every episode that we record. You were most optimistic 2 years ago. Now you seem least optimistic. Percentage of Bitcoin succeeds right now?
3%. I really think I don't see, you know, miners aren't getting off zero. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of miners who, you know, there's a lot of Western miners in the U.S. who might get off zero here and might start testing and might start helping out and might start mining Strata V2. But there's a lot of miners who it's going to take a lot of work to reach. And, you know, we got to get off zero. We got to get some of these bigger miners in the West getting moving. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to the long tail. And I don't know what's going to happen to a lot of hash power in Kazakhstan, China, and whatever. We've got a long way to go to make Bitcoin decentralized.
And is there a forcing function once Stratum V2 is adopted by a certain percentage of the network where it becomes not uneconomical, but less economical to run Stratum V1?
Maybe. Not really. No, I mean, it doesn't change a lot about the economics. You know, I would strongly encourage ISPs out there to go start stealing hash power because Stratum V1 is insecure and your ISP could be siphoning off some hash power. So I'd strongly encourage that. If you're an ISP and you're in Kazakhstan, go steal some hash power, make some free money. But no, sadly not.
Okay. Maybe that's what we need, the attacks from the ISPs to force decentralization into mining layer. All right.
And file the miners. Block withholding so we bankrupt all the fixed paper share pools. Go withhold some blocks. Go bankrupt the fixed paper share pools.
Matt came on and shows violence today. We're going to block withhold. The ISPs are going to attack and hash rate jack. We're going to change the hash function. We're going to fire the miners.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, I knew this was going to be this type of episode when you DM'd me last week. I had a feeling.
Sorry. Had to happen.
How's everything else going?
Life's good. Life's good. Yeah,
you look good.
Can't complain. It's nice in New York. Starting to be spring.
Yeah, I'm bummed I missed you last week. Missed you by a couple days.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had an event in Miami. Sadly, I missed a bunch of the having parties, too. But, oh, well.
They were fun.
Next one.
We're celebrating our own demise, nice, you know. It would be poetic.
Yeah.
All right, well. Thank you for keeping us on our toes. And if you're a miner listening out there, think about this. Long-term viability of your business is at risk because Bitcoin is a very important project. And if push does come to shove, the nuclear option is there and will be hit if it needs to be hit. Nobody wants to hit it. Let's not let it get to that point. Get off your ass. Stop focusing on the energy stuff myopically. We've got a network side of things that is...
Yeah, and it doesn't take many resources to deal with the network side of things, you know. Just takes a few hours a week from your ops folks. You figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go text some miners. Maybe write a newsletter. I think that's what I wrote a newsletter about today. And then we'll post this tomorrow. Just get the message out there.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
It's great seeing you under these very depressing circumstances, but we got to get it out there.
Yeah, we do. We
got to
get off zero.
All right. Get off zero. We'll fire the miners. Peace and love.